The third reason I came here to Clearwater, because I don't
relish... gave you the courage to do it.
To come to Clearwater is because I don't relish the publicity and the harassment and possible danger my life will be in. But this may sound shocking to you, but the correlation and the example between Scientology and Reverend Jones in Guyana is amazingly similar. I saw the TV show as a person totally inside of Scientology, totally familiar with the technology. I was astounded how Reverend Jones did the exact same things Hubbard did. And that these people closest to him, brainwashed thoroughly, are totally dedicated to him. I mean, they are dedicated to him. The people in the SEAL, which to work in Fort Harrison here, in Clearwater, which is the top of the line, are joining the SEAL. If Hubbard decides to leave this planet, he is going to take these other people. These kids in the SEAL, I don't care what lies they tell you. I'll get you people who are in Scientology who tell you I'm telling you the truth. These kids have signed billion-year contracts. Right here, most all your staff at Fort Harrison right here have signed billion-year contracts. They are psychologically contracted and addicted to Scientology. They will take the Kool-Aid. It won't be Kool-Aid, but it will be this beautiful new process, and the idea was to meet Hubbard on another planet. It was looking at that that I decided to come here. Because if somebody close to Jones had spoken up, although I know many people wouldn't believe, and you probably won't believe half the things I'm telling you, but I'd rather speak up than reading about what will happen in ensuing months. Because you people have started an investigation into Scientology that's going to create total paranoia. And Hubbard will not treat this right. And if he decides, because he's basically a coward, if he decides to leave, his guidance office will fight. Those kids, they're just automatic zombies. They'll fight. He will leave. Many of his dedicated followers, including many of his staff, and I'm talking about 200 and 300, I don't know how many have on staff there, the insiders, they will go with him. On the pretext, especially everybody above OT3 that thinks he's filled with body phagans, and his job was to meet Hubbard on another planet. If I can help that stop happening.
Just one last question, I'll let the other ones go. You've got a good deal of money to take these courses. What were you paid to do your job to keep you in there?
Nothing. I got no pay all the time I was on courses. In fact, I audited other people at high prices for Scientology. And when you're training, like you will come in to get processing for me, and you don't even know that I'm being trained while I'm giving it to you. Every day I audit you and somebody is correcting me, no, you screwed this up, you did this. And you're paying $200 or $300 an hour, and that's what's done here at Clearwater. And I'm being trained. Later on, I did some counseling in the field, auditing in the field myself.
Which you got paid for?
Yes, yeah. And they
but you never paid while you're doing field investigation or anything like that?
No. And the church really resented that. For me leaving the org and auditing on my own.
Right.
Because see, they tell you all these things when you first come in that you can do all of it. I took all my courses based on that I can become a professional auditor and be a student of mankind and audit people like you. As soon as I did it, they went berserk and thought I was connected with Interpol and every other thing.
Okay, Mr. Hatchett.
Thank you, Mr. Waldman. Do you have any evidence that the Reverend Sir Ron Hubbard is alive or dead?
Exact evidence, no. I mean, I have a pretty good experienced opinion. If he dies, you'll know it.
Right. Next question is, thank you for your answers to Mr. Carver's question, but I wish to go just a little further. Do you have evidence, or were you ever part of the impounding of people, which I call kidnapping internally?
Well, it's a common practice in ethics to do that. What they do is a person will become very upset, like that individual I told you this, that he will not disconnect from his mother. And now his mother and father are getting upset, and the father will say, I am going to the police. I'm going to Better Business Bureau. He now goes into usually a psychological heavy experience because he's torn between the teaching of Herbert and his family. He goes PTS and becomes dangerous. They're thinking if the father says things like, I'm taking my son to a lawyer, they will then grab that son. And under the pretext of religion or that he is going berserk or having a serious upset, they will lock him in a room and force on him auditing for his own good. What they're really there is to make sure that he does not leave the building. In fact, people in lower ethics conditions can't even leave the building. They can't leave the building. It doesn't matter whether you have a family or not. I have personal experience with many young kids sweeping floors for days until they said, yes, I am a bad boy, Ron is right, I am wrong, I'll never talk to my parents again.
Thank you. Next question, please. I'm talking about these courses where anything like the contract you sign for those courses for guarantees, you know, like 2 or 3 years when you went to that next course, you have to sign that they guaranteed you to be cured and minimal throughout your courses.
Yes, you can pick up the book Dianetics on down here Fort Harrison. Dianetics is told to you, and if you read it, it's professed as being the sole reason for all sickness and aberration, and that if I would get Dianetic auditing, I would never be sick or ill again.
Then if I would become an auditor,
I would learn the technology of how Hubbard did that. So they got me coming and going. I got the auditing, and then they asked me, would you like to get the technology? And I paid for that too. And I did that all the way to the top.
Last question, thank you. I see in the notes here that there are some quite hot prospects who will wish to, you know, call to Yale Scientology. Was that technique used in Las Vegas when you were active?
Yes.
How did that come about?
Now, which exact thing are you talking about? So I
hot prospects from other churches. Members in the Scientology.
A prospect. See, every week you sit and the finance people sit and decide which of the people that are coming in has the money, how much they have and how much they're going to get. A person, like who comes to Clearwater, who has, as we'll say, $80,000, he would be called a hot prospect, meaning we can get most of what we can from him. And they would do a financial interview with him, talk to him, and they'll ask questions that to him at the time, he doesn't even understand. They'll say, good, and we're from Cleveland, and you own a home in Cleveland?
Sure.
And do you have any stock? And I promise you that halfway through him doing that for OT or one of these other science fiction levels down here, Clearwater, they will then tell him that he needs to get more of it, and it will cost him another $80,000. And they will be glad to show him how he can sell his home, and they will gladly do this. And I know people that have come to Clearwater and done exactly that.
Thank you, Al Carls.
Thank you. Mr. Schumer, do you have any questions? You may participate too. You are the
manager. Yeah, I did have a couple of questions I wanted to ask. Mr. Walters, were you personally involved? I think you answered this, but I'd like for clarification on the record. Were you personally involved in criminal activities on behalf of the church? And who told you to do this?
Yes, I was in some, and I was told to do that by. I'll tell you the exact names. Bruce Raymond of the Guardian's office, who worked for L. Ron Hubbard and Mary Sue Hubbard through directions from here in Clearwater, where L. Ron Hubbard was residing at the time. I was told to do things by Susan Reed in Las Vegas, Madeline Reese in Las Vegas, the AGPRO, the Assistant Guardian Public Relations Officer, Chuck Reese, who was the intelligence officer, Art
Scott Mann, who was United States AGPRO.
These particular instructions that you received, were they, did they follow normal policy of the church, or were they
exact policy of the church? The policy always is the same. For example, you want a specific?
Yes, sir.
Right? It's going to be embarrassing to some people in Las Vegas.
Don't worry about them.
Well, I have to go back.
Well, you shouldn't worry about them. Worry about the people in Clearwater that might have this happen to them soon.
That's exactly right. The Better Business Bureau, people were sent in to steal things from their files. My personal knowledge of it, I was the one who cased the place. They were also to put things in their files, steal something from the Review Journal, a newspaper in Las Vegas. Also an attempt to burglarize their, what they call the hot file. They didn't know what was in it, but they felt that Interpol or the police or the city officials had evidence on Scientology, and they felt the guy was going to write a story on it. And through plans they already had there, they knew it was in the file, and they asked me if I would go in and burglarize the file. I wouldn't do it. They asked me to secretly tape record the conversations of Dr. William O'Gorman, who was the chief psychiatrist or something in Las Vegas. He was president of the Psychiatric Association there, a very well-respected man. We would go into his office and talk to him, try to find out things about him in his past, and tape record them to be used later against him. But a complete harassment program was done against him. He's written up, including, which will be done, I would suggest, and I would think the tech is still the same, I'm sure it is, to your city officials. They will, you will be followed, you will be called late at night,
mm-hmm.
you will be sent what we call dead agent information, meaning information that they hope you bring up that will dead agent you. Does that make sense to you?
Not quite to mine.
This is one of Hubbard's, at the time I thought it was very clever. Let's say Mr. Hatchett, they would say, well, Mr. Hatchett is a black man, and we followed him around, we know him pretty well now. You will be sent a letter by someone professing about how he just wants to let you know that how a great job you're doing in the city, and what a fine member you are, and thing, and one or two lines in there, we do not believe what, let's say, Mr. Calderbank. We don't believe what Mr. Carbeck says about people in your race, and we just want you to know we think you're okay. Knowing that you'll read the letter and say, Calderbank said this about me?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And this will create dissension among you, and it's a complete program. In fact, he will be sent the letter too.
Sir, with the, I think you indicated that your experience has mainly been in California and also in Las Vegas. The organizational structure which is set up there in the church, how does that relate to the rest of the structure of the organization throughout the entire world?
Okay.
Is it different, or is it special, or what?
No, it's exactly the same. It's a very rigid, run organization set up by L. Ron Hubbard. The last is the missions that are in cities throughout the United States. They appear to be nice places. They have lower level tent. They have none of the espionage in it. They look like very nice places to get your sons and daughters in. They appear very nice. Above that is an organization. There are orgs in most of the major cities in the United States. The organization is the next higher level of threat. It also gets into the brainwashing concerning the paranoia of the enemies of the church. Above the organization, the headquarters of the United States for a long time was California, for the Guardian's office. And since 1976 and up to present time, it is at here at Flag in Clearwater. Flag is the home of L. Ron Hubbard. It is also, for every Scientologist, it is where all the orders come from.
Okay, I want to ask you one quick one.
if Mr. Hubbard dies for any reason, let's say he dies of old age eventually, will...
His mind leave his body?
Well, I don't really care about his mind leaving his body, but do you think there might be any suicides in Clearwater because of the... or worldwide because people that are close to him believe in him that much?
Yes, I do. That's one of the main reasons I'm here. I'm not telling anything new. You citizens haven't heard any of this, but I think the federal government's familiar with it, and some other cities are. But one of the main reasons I'm here is because when Hubbard leaves, he...
I advise this area might get a little touchy, and I may have gone a little too far with that question, so I will ask you to stop answering that question, because that may have something to do with faith, and therefore we shouldn't get into that.
Let me say this. No.
Okay. That is not really the issue. What we're here today is to do the faith. We're here to primarily for business activities. I'd like you to say, how would you have us get this information out to the local Scientologist or the worldwide or national Scientologist that are probably decent people that are just being taken into this? And then I'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Calderbank, who has some questions to you too.
I will. Well, you can't. The internal policies won't operate like that. The Scientologists who are giving their money and the staff who are working at, let's say, Fort Harrison, they cannot, it is part of technology, they cannot confront me. I am a suppressor. That if they see or talk to me, weird things will happen to their minds and they will be doomed.
Can they read the newspaper tomorrow?
I don't know what the local plan is here in Las Vegas. They are told, you know, to stay away from all those things because they're nothing but lies. I have not seen the plan for Fort Harrison. I guarantee you won't see your Fort Harrison PCs at this hearing. The only ones here will be Guardian's office or public relations people.
RPF, what is that?
Rehabilitation Project Force. That is a disciplinarian level. The person is not following the written policy and intentions of L. Ron Hubbard, or he fails in any way. He would get people's money, or brainwash them, or hail somebody who goes to an official. He is then put in a very degraded position, which will be like he is stripped of, you know, whatever titles he has. He must wear dirty old clothes, dirty rag. He must clean floors and sewers and things like that until he realizes how degraded he is. And when he does that, he's allowed then to come back. During that time, he's not allowed to talk to anyone. No Scientologist can talk to him. He is treated in a degraded manner. It's technology. In other words, if you treat him in a degraded manner, he will realize he's degraded and realize how strong Hubbard is. Like I said, when I saw that television thing on Reverend Jones, I was amazed that Jones had those kids write up every bad thought they had to him, these Dear Daddy letters. That's the exact same phenomenon. I'll tell you, the Scientologists, after a few years, will be glad to scrub floors. I mean, it's that weird. I mean, it's not like he thinks it's bad. He is glad to do it because, wow, I told my bad thoughts I must have. If Scientology is not doing well, I must have them. Can't be Ron. He's a genius, so I must have them. And he will search until he has them, or he has to make them up, or they're forced on him. And it's the only way he can get back in.
And that may have something more to do with faith, and we're trying to keep away from that specifically. Mr. Calderbank, do you have any questions?
Yeah. Mr. Walters, thank you for coming. Appreciate seeing you here. And I'm interested, number one, you said that when you leave here, you'll feel threatened. And you talked about policies. One is R245, or exteriorization. Basically, that's shooting a person in the head. Is this a policy in the church that is read and open to most members?
Yes, it's R245 is even in one of the most popular books.
Would they then the members follow this policy?
Well,
either told to or induced to?
Well, no, you can't say just members. It depends on the level. A regular staff member? No. A new person giving his money? No. A lower level guardian's office? No. A higher level guardian's office? Yes. A person directly connected to the safety of L. Ron Hubbard. The inner core will do anything. It's it.
Getting back would be getting back to your fear. Artie Marin, he was also the one that was the last one that were reputed to see Quentin Hubbard before Mr. Hubbard died mysteriously.
Yes.
Did he at any time threaten you?
Did he threaten me out there? Yes, he did.
Did he threaten you with your life?
Yes, he did.
And that gets down to criminal activities and policies. Are these policies followed? You gave a lot of examples about Las Vegas, and these are policies that are carried out and followed by members. Are these policies in every structure set up by Scientology? Are these policies followed by Scientologists throughout the country?
Yes, in every organization, where there is a guardian's office follows guardian's office policy.
So the structure,
destroy the
structure in LA and the structure in Las Vegas and the structure in Clearwater are the same.
Exactly.
They follow the same policies.
Exactly.
One of these policies is the fair game policy, and that tells you to lie, cheat, even destroy other people. At any time did you take part or know of people that participated in the fair game policy?
I personally did not get involved in destroying anybody. I wouldn't do that. I've heard that it's done. I personally have not seen it. But listen, I gave people's folders to the Guardian's office to be used against them. That's destroying them psychologically and emotionally. And let me tell you, those people never spoke up again.
Were those break-ins that you discussed part of the fair game policy or as a result of this policy?
Yes. See, in the Guardian's office, the fair game means you do whatever it has to do.
And you've seen criminal activities and participated in these criminal activities following off a policy which is a structure of the entire church.
Right.
Did you talk to other Scientologists and participate in groups of Scientologists that as their goal carried out fair game policy on enemies or break-ins or other criminal activities?
Yes, there are others who were.
Did you know at the time that this could be considered a conspiracy or a conspiratorial act to take away someone else's civil rights?
Oh, no, we didn't know any of that.
But it was part of the church policy that you followed?
Yes.
Did you ever see people held against their will as part of the church doctrine, people that may be discontent with policies of disconnect? In other words, not being able to see any member of their family or communicate with any member of their family again?
Many times.
Did you ever participate in it?
Yes.
Did you ever participate in framing someone, or to give a better analogy, committing criminal acts against the person so that their credibility would be destroyed in the eyes of either the public or investigators that were looking into Scientology?
Depends what level of framing. I gave up folders to be used against individuals.
You talked about planting dope and then calling the police and then having the person arrested.
I didn't do that, but it was done in Las Vegas as part of normal Guardian's office thing, and I know of it.
Because I can give you one instance.
All right.
Could you give an instance at another investigation if given time to think?
Oh, yeah.
Names, places.
Yeah, I'm willing to go to court and tell. Oh, yeah.
In Las Vegas, did you see this happen at all?
Oh, yeah, against legislators.
Because of this policy, the actual structure or corporate policy of this group, is that same policy that induced people to criminal activities in L.A. and Las Vegas that you personally witnessed, that you participated in?
Excuse me.
Has that happened here in
Colorado? You're asking good questions, but give the man a chance to answer it and, get on with it. And he may have to have a recall of 7-10 years ago, so give him a little more chance.
Have you seen it and participated in it? Can you give us an example where policy induced people into criminal activities?
Yes. I know of a new person that came in. I can't think of her name now. A young girl was asked to plant dope on somebody. Susan Reed had recruited her. She was later kicked out because apparently she did it and was protested. I don't know who they laid it on. They planted something on Otto Ravenholz that turned publicity against him. I was not personally involved in that. I was listening to the setup of it and then later listened to how well it went. When the Nevada legislature, 72 or 73, you could check the files back then, was going to, they were thinking of licensing counselors. In other words, why should these young kids be giving so-called credit when they had no training or no, you know, they weren't licensed, they should be licensed counselors. There were a few legislators or senators or whatever you call them who were going to pass a bill, I believe, in the Nevada legislature. The guidance office started a following people around, investigating them. For 2 nights before the hearing up in Carson City, they were called day and night. There was great joy over some woman councilman or some name like that, but she was a woman who was driven almost to the point of hysteria because they called her day and night. It was Chuck Reese's job to do that. He bragged about it and laughed about it. He didn't get any sleep either. Calling this woman day and night, you know, saying things to her, keeping her totally. And we laughed that by the time she got to Carson City, she'd be berserk herself.
You mentioned
these are normal activities for the Guardian's office.
And these activities are as a result of policy that's actually written?
Yes. It's not given to the general Scientologists. They don't see it. It's called Guardian Office Policy. You will have it before 76, I would see it right in the Guardian's office there. And in Los Angeles, and you have it here. But since the raid in 1976 by the FBI, they now do two things. They do, I remember when the order came down to vetting, which was to go through all the policy.
Mm-hmm.
And if it said, make sure whenever you break in that you have a good cover. You had to cut that out of a piece of paper. So thinking that there's ever a raid again, it couldn't be used against them, because that a lot of stuff that's going on now, you people wouldn't have known, nobody, the citizens of the United States wouldn't have known if the FBI did not raid. It'd be still be going on even heavier. Anyway, and so some of the policy looked like nothing but holes in it, because that's Guardian's office policy. The average Scientologist doesn't see any of this. In fact, there are people in the Guardian's office that don't see it. The intelligence people see it all. The top people in the GO see it. But some of the newer, especially since 76, is the eyes only operation. Some of the people like in the PR section, the guys that will come and talk to the mayor, the young fellow that comes and talks to the mayor, he himself probably really doesn't believe any of this did occur. And honestly, you know,
Mr. Goldbank, when every commissioner is finished questioning in a particular area, I'm not saying that you should discontinue your questioning. What I will do is introduce the policy into evidence as a written document of our interest in Scientology. And most of the policies, if not all, that are testified about, we have here, including, for instance, the fair game documents which are on the email. And we will introduce these policies. In some cases, we'll put them on the overhead projector as time allows. For instance, the policy dealing with framing and harassing, the actual drills the guardian's office operative went through, as Mr. Walton knows, we'll be giving you the pieces of paper that the GO used.
Let me mention something a lot to show you how the tech fits into this.
And tech is technology.
Technology. And why I tell you that it's done in clear, I'm sure. The tech is very guarded and they're very quiet with it. I've watched Guardian's office people sit during what they told me was reporter TR. It was how to lie to a reporter.
Is that TR1?
Yeah, there's concourse routine that they give the public called TR0, 1, 2, 3, and 4. The Guardian's office has their own TR that are used to lie to officials, to lie at hearings, to lie to a reporter. I watched them actually drill. I watched Chuck Reese, you know, say to Marvin Reese, and his job was to act like a reporter, which they thought was insane. You know, a reporter would go, "All right, we know that you're connected with the criminals, and we know that you're not a religion. Isn't that true?" And Marvin Reese would have to sit there and say, "We are an applied religious philosophy. We,
whatever the scenario dictates."
Yeah, whatever it be. And if she flinched or broke up or started to feel bad, he would thump her. She had to do it until she could do it like that.
Mr. Flynn, do you have a copy of that training routine that teaches that Scientologists go through to lie to government officials, the press, the DA, whatever group is?
Yes, we do.
Would you enter that into evidence?
If you'd like to have it now, what I was going to do is, in order to create some orderliness,
I'd rather you have me create orderliness and keep order, and I'd rather you just ask questions, and then he will have certain things he will present in his, in his orderly way, rather not have a hodgepodge of information that we can't keep track of or control.
What I'm a little bit concerned about is there are so many documents and interrupting the flow of the testimony, so if
the witness
can get in, most of the testimony.
Exactly. The chair is running the meeting, too, I might add.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yes, sir.